O great African ancestors, who are always with us, we humbly offer our thanks for the many blessings you have given, the sacrifices you have made, and the suffering endured so that we might be spared. O great African ancestors near and far, we humbly ask that you, at this time and in this place, grace us with your presence and wisdom. Lead and guide us to a higher understanding of our true nature and greatness. Rise up, O African ancestors. Come and live in us. And we will not fail to honor you. We will not fail to respect you. We will not fail to hear you. And we will not betray you. Oshe, 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 Ashe.
Well, Asibui Njema, Habari Gani. Good morning, and what's the news? I'm Uhura, and welcome to Melanated Woman. This morning, we're going to be talking, actually, it's a continuation, or somewhat of a continuation of our topic last week, but we're going to be looking at education and indoctrination, and do we know the difference? You know, we are at a point where we ask a lot of ourselves and family and what have you, and even publicly, what's wrong with our kids? What is going on? Are they losing their minds? No. They're not losing their minds. You know, our minds were stolen from us, and we're talking about hundreds of years ago, August 20th, 1619, in Jamestown, Virginia, when the first 20 or so African captives, you know, were disembarked from a Dutch man of war. And the process of us losing our minds, our characters, ourselves, began. Now, as I said, did our children lose or fail by integration? Perhaps. That's one of my theories, but that's just my theory. But in the African community, are we aware of the difference of education and indoctrination? All right, well, let's start with the definition. Education. That's the act or process of imparting or acquiring general knowledge, developing the powers of reasoning and judgment, and generally of preparing oneself or others intellectually for mature life. That's pretty much across the board the definition of education. Now, indoctrination. Indoctrination is teaching someone to accept a set of beliefs without questioning them. So, what have we been taught? Have we been educated or have we been indoctrinated? Because whatever has been going on with us within the last 400 years will go on with the children who are in school now, who will go later and later and later, this generation forward. You need to think about that, okay? And one more definition I want to give to you. Institutionalization, okay? Institutionalization is an often deliberate process whereby a person entering the institution is reprogrammed to accept and conform to strict controls that enables the institution to manage a large number of people with a minimum of necessary staff. We often hear the phrase, educational institution. But have you really ever thought about that? Now, I just gave you the different definition. Have we educated our children? Are our children being educated? It's no question that we haven't truly been educated. Not at all. Not at all. You know, a child only educated at school is an uneducated child. Let me say that again. A child only educated at school is an uneducated child. Now, why would I say that? You know, why would I say that? Does that sound like madness to you? No, it's not madness. It's reality. Reality. Going back to what we've talked about the first 5 years in a child's life, the first 5 years in a child's life, from birth to age five, about 90% of a child's brain develops at that time. What does that have to do with education and indoctrination? Well, let's go on. And 85% of a child's intellect, personality, and social skills are developed by that age. That's a period for serious education, not indoctrination, but education. And who is responsible? Who is responsible for this? Teachers? No. Family. Mother, father, grandma, cousins, everybody. Community. Because this is where you learn the process of being who you are. Now, we have seen over the years that fewer and fewer parents have the opportunity to actually teach and prepare young kids before they before they go to school. When you go to school, you're indoctrinated. If you're lucky, you might get some education. You might. Now, I was reading an article, and it was talking about, did school integration fail black children? What does this have to do with what we're talking about? A heck of a lot, okay? And this was written by Daisy M. Jenkins, and she posted it about a year ago. And she was talking about integration. Did it work for us? No. She was saying when the ruling of Brown versus the Board of Education came down, we need to realize that that was not a step forward, that it was a step back. You know, because prior to that, the schools and the teachers, the administrators, everybody who handled children in the community were African themselves. The teachers knew the parents. Some of the teachers had taught the parents. Some of them had gone to school with them. Everybody knew everybody. And the educators had high expectations for children then. High expectations. And they were daily role models and cheerleaders for African children to succeed. Not so in integrated territory. Not so. No. The reality is that black families faced heavier burdens with desegregation than whites did. Black children spent more time commuting. Black schools were closed to make desegregation more convenient for whites and to prevent their flight to the suburbs or private schools. And black teachers and principals were fired when white and black schools were merged. Estimates show that more than 82,000 black teachers provided instruction to a black student population numbering around 2 million in 1954. Within a span of 10 years, around 40,000 black teachers lost their jobs. 90% of black principals lost their jobs in 11 southern states. You know, today, increased public school closures across the nation disproportionately impact Black and also Latina and poor students who lose their neighborhood schools. 88% of the school closures, like in the city of Chicago, affect who? Black students. So, what are we talking about? We're talking about educating our children. And in order to educate our children, we have to educate ourselves. We need to understand that we have to do a Sankofa, reach all the way back and bring it forward to understand ourselves. We are always upset about what our kids do and what they don't do. You know, they seem to have lost this. They seem to have lost that. They seem to have lost the other. Morals, intellect, you know, common sense, you know. But here's my question. With all that, whose fault is that? Who do we blame? We cannot blame Caucasians for everything. It is our lack of understanding, our ignorance, that has contributed heavily to this. Now, I was on my Facebook earlier this morning, and I saw something that I love, all right? And I didn't get in touch with the person who put this up, but I'm going to mention it. It's a father out in Richmond, Virginia, and he put up it was a 30-second video. And his little angel, she is so precious, and she's real young, preschool. And he was just recorded it and said, "This is how I spend time with my daughter." And he was helping her to spell and to learn. Don't see that often, you know. And kudos to you, Father. And I'm going to call your first name a whole lot of it. Youssef, proud of you. You know, the little angel has no idea how fortunate she is that has a father that works with her. Yeah. Now, I know a lot of times you don't and we can't work with our children. We can't educate our children because we have to work, because we have to create, you know, survival mechanism. You know, they have to eat, they have to sleep. You know, they have this, that, and other. But you must realize, even in all of this support that you give them, the one thing that you need to do is educate them, particular as to who they are, because they will not get it in public or private schools unless the private school is African-centered. You will not get it. You can ask a lot of kids a lot of things. You can ask them who's going to be on the fight tonight. They can probably tell you. They can probably tell you. Serious business, they could probably tell you. But will they be able to tell you? And I'm going to keep it in the 20th century. Will they be able to tell you who Marcus Garvey was and what he stood for? Our behavior, we talk about the behavior of our children. 99% of it is learned behavior. Where are they learning this behavior from? Are they learning it from you? That years and years ago, when you see a Caucasian mother and child in the supermarket and the child would fall out and what have you, you know, we would think, oh, how awful. Oh, how awful. Well, I've seen that recently amongst Africans, you know. Indoctrination, forced consciousness or unconsciousness, let's put it like that. Before a child goes to school, it really needs to be focused and taught about who they are. You know, our traditions, our people, our history, you know, our behavioral patterns. Because our behavior patterns are ancient. And of course, a lot of it has been erased, you know, and a lot of us can't wait to deal or to be like their former master's children. And we're teaching this to our children. And then we wonder what's wrong with them. We wonder what's wrong with them. What is wrong with us? So how do we change that? What do we do? What do we do as parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and cousins may need to re-educate ourselves? Well, how do you do that? Because most of the books that are in schools and colleges are not written for or by us. We know more about the lives and the processes of Europeans than we have ever known in the last 400 or 500 years about ourselves. So how do we do that? What shall we do? Research. Research. Look it up. Dig it up. We are at a time right now, right today, where we can connect with the motherland. We can see what's going on in the motherland. There are many Wallimu teachers that have been amongst us on this continent that we are not even conscious of, because we're programmed to ignore it. If it's not the philosophy of the European, then it's not worth dealing with. No, no, no. Dr. Clark, Dr. Henry Clark, is one of the greatest teachers that have ever been on this continent. Do you know him? Get to know him. You know. Ivan Van Sertima. There are books. There are people, philosophies. There are accurate history of our people before and after my offer, which is terrible tragedy. That's what it means. I'm going to take a break right here. And Cherie.
Yes, I'm here.
What's your opinion on this?
Like, my opinion is, we have to start. Everything is at home. The root is home. We got to connect with home, and we got to start teaching ourselves, because that's the only way the kids are going to learn, if we start teaching ourselves, just to put it in layman's terms. And the quality time we spend researching ourselves, the kids need to be sitting right beside us while we're researching.
Exactly.
We can discover this with our kids together as we... How do you say it? I'm going to use the phrase. How is that? A couple or family that prays together stays together?
Mm-hmm.
Well, a family that learns together. Will
earns together.
Earns together and will just become better. And then once you start teaching each other, your kids start to learn and you're learning, it can branch out. You can pull other people in. Where the kids will be like, this is what I learned. This is what me and my mom talked about. And other kids will be interested. If their parents are not going to teach, because that's mostly how it goes. They go over to a friend's house. What your mama say? What y'all talking about? And they pick something up.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing you know, they take it home. And then their parents is like, where did you learn that? You know, and it just,
wow.
The cycle can keep going. And if you can get the people to do that and pull together, start teaching each other. I mean, it don't necessarily have to be formal school, like you say, institutionalization.
Mm-hmm.
That'll water everything down. We can just come together as a community and start teaching each other that way. You know, and then we can find some other teachers that do know this and pull other people, like you have here in Richmond, the Alegba Folklore Society. That can pull them in.
Exactly.
And come in and will teach, you know, what you don't know or what you don't understand or what's beyond your grasp. You know, that's how I feel about
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Well, actually, how you feel about it is actually the way it really is. So a few years back, they did a sociological experiment, not psychological, but sociological. And I know you've all heard this and seen this and are aware of it. But did you think about it? They had several black children, particularly little girls, and two dolls. You know what I'm talking about, Sheree?
Yeah.
Two dolls, one black, one white. White children were also included in this experiment. The majority of the black children chose which doll?
They chose the white doll.
The white one. Is that education? Because education or indoctrination? The child, these children were like anywhere from, I think, 8 to 10. And so if the first 5 years of a child's life prepares them, these children were ill prepared because they have learned that white is what? Better, more desirable. And you see that every day. You see that every day. Those same little white kids grew up to be big kids and grown men and women with that type of indoctrination. That could have been cut short had they had the proper education at home, particularly about self, particularly
mm-hmm.
about self, who you are, your value, and nobody comes before you. But we teach our children to be just like their former slave masters' children. And trust me, the younger they are, the more impressionable they are. The more impressionable they are. I've seen it happen in my own family here recently. The more impressionable they are. And that's due to the indoctrination, the erasing away of African knowledge from the Africans who set foot on this continent almost 400 years ago. And the reprogramming. And it's become generational. It's been handed down. We can stop it. We need to stop it. We need to stop it. All right, I'm going to take a little break, and we're going to hear a couple of words from one of our ancestors. Be back in a minute and 27 seconds.
And when I speak, I don't speak as a Democrat or a Republican, nor an American. I speak as a victim of America's so-called democracy. You and I have never seen democracy. All we've seen is hypocrisy. We don't see any American dream. We've experienced only the American nightmare. And the generation that's coming up now can see it and are not afraid to say it. If you go to jail, so what? If you're black, you were born in jail. If you're black, you were born in jail. In the North as well as the South. Stop talking about the South. Long as you're south of the Canadian border, you're South. This is why I say it's the ballot or the bullet. It's liberty or it's death. It's freedom for everybody or freedom for nobody.
And that was a word from one of our ancestors, Malcolm X. So we're talking about indoctrination and education. You know, we have been indoctrinated. There's no question about that. We know that. But how can you offset the indoctrination that our children receive once they're past the age of 5 and out in public schools. How can you do that? You educate them at home. Family values. And we've lost a lot of our family values. Trust me, we came here with family values. What was valuable to us, family, how you treat family, how you think, how you behave. But what we do now, we copy the behavior of our former master's children. Now, I don't know if I should say former or not, but that's another show. When a child comes in the world, from the moment it leaves the womb and come into the world, it's learning. It's processing. As a mother, and I'm going to tell you, I'm going to say it, I don't care what feminists or anybody else say. Mothers, we have the initial job of educating and preparing our offspring. That is even understood in the animal kingdom. In the animal kingdom. But we have been reprogrammed. A couple of weeks ago, I had Larry Higginbotham on this show from Osiris Institute. And he's the co-author of Post-Traumatic Slavery Disorder. I always tell people, please grab that book. Grab it. Read it. Or you can go to, I think it's osirisinstitute.org. Because he has it set up so you can freely educate yourself about why we think the way we do and how it has happened. And how it will continue until we realize what has happened to us. Go to that. Go to that. Osiris Institute. Larry Higginbotham. You know, we have to. We cannot erase it. And we don't want to erase my offer. Because it still continues. But that's not the reason. Because what you must remember always. What has happened. But you must re-educate yourself, your family, and all children that come under your wing. Not just in your house, not just in your neighborhood, but all African children everywhere. Because this process is not isolated to here. This process is going on in Africa and everywhere African people are. It's an awakening. And while your children are young, while they're malleable, teach them, prepare them, prepare them. Because in the future, if you don't, as a nation, as an African nation, we won't exist. We prep our children to be entertainers, to be sports personalities, everything except what we need or who they should be. In the last several generations, I'll say four, we've forgotten how to feed ourselves. Because you must remember, it was we, Africans in America, who fed this nation as it was developing. We dealt with the crops. And now most of us wouldn't even know how to grow a tomato. Feed yourself. Wipe away that slave mentality where you got to wait for the master to feed you with a few crumbs, because that's what you're doing. And the food that they're giving you is not good. The food that they're giving you is not good. It's killing you. It's changing you. It's corrupting you. Oh, I know she talk real crazy. It may sound crazy because it is crazy, and we do need to understand the madness behind it. You know, teach yourself how to grow a little food. Teach yourself what is good for the African body and what is not good for the African body, and pass it on to your children. And one way to teach your kids is to turn off that television. Control it. You talk about children not having self-control. We don't have any. Control it. Control it. How can you do that? Turn it off. Don't let them see anything that you have not approved. And when they see it, little people don't need it. And let me tell you something. I've been privy to watching Europeans, and they do it. They do it. You know, we have to stop allowing televised propaganda to be indoctrinated into our children via the electronic babysitter. So how are we going to teach our children? First, we've got to teach ourselves. We must teach ourselves. What were you going to say, Cherie?
That goes for those tablets as well.
Please, yes, tablets, computers, all of it. Because you got a little people who can use the phones and the tablets and the computers better than we do. And you, every day you hear about children being snatched, teenagers being snatched, you know, by pedophiles and this, that, and that. I'm going to tell you something. You really have to control that. In order to control that, you have to control yourself. You have to change your indoctrination to education. Educate yourself. You know, I have a website, and I use it from time to time, but what I'm going to start doing is putting up things that will help adults, African adults, to re-educate yourselves.
I can give you one suggestion to start off with. I can give you one suggestion to start off with. The first thing is, if you have a cable provider, the first thing I would tell you to do is cut your cable service and just keep the internet. Everything you can find is on the internet, and then you'll be more privy to truly being able to control what you're watching on television and what commercials your child is seeing and what images your child is seeing. And if you can find a way to do that and then to teach yourself and have you and your kids sit down there and use their computer together to look up things about Africa and speak to Africans straight from the motherland, you know. And it would be, I think it'd be much, much better, because I know a lot of Caucasian families, they have one television and they don't have cable. And their kids' heads are in the books. They're actually in the books. Where a lot of black families don't have books in their home. They don't sit their children in front of the TV.
No, they don't. I know that for a fact. I've been witness, seriously. One last thing, because our time is rolling, but I wanted to get into this. Supporting and encouraging a child during his or her youngest years, from the beginning to about 5 years, the youngest years, is a parent's responsibility. That is your responsibility. You know, if you don't do that, you're shooting yourself in the foot. Use your resources. where we'll have the most impact on a child. You know, for the first 5 to 8 years, family, school, community, and peers play a role in the following aspects of a child's socialization. Get your pens out, write it down. The development of trust. The development of independence. The tendency to take initiative. The sense of competence and ambition. Here's an important one. The decision about who one is. Relationship with others. Decision about future generations. And reflecting on one's life. And the one thing that we as a collective don't know is who we really are. We have indications, and some of us have found out, but as a collective, we don't know who we are. We know that we're African descendants. But you ask the average Caucasian, and they can take you back 1,000 years. Where they came from, who developed, this, that, and the other. And you and me, we can't even get back to the shores that we stepped foot on at first in 1619. We can't get back to that. My God, we have no idea what happened before that. You need to find out. And here is something that I recommend. And like I said, I will be putting some of this stuff up on my site so you can refer to it. DNA. DNA tells you a lot of things. DNA is a program, and it's a biological chemical programming. DNA determines if your skin is black, if your eyes are blue, if your hair is kinky, wavy, or curly. What else does DNA determine? What else can it tell you? It can tell you a lot. It can at least, excuse me, tell you where you came from. It can tell you whether you came out of West Africa, or South Africa, or North Africa, or East Africa, or the Congo. We, as and women, because this is, I'm talking to the sisters and the cousins and the aunts and uncles and the mothers and the grandmothers now. As women, we spend billions of dollars annually on our hair. We need to understand that we, for the sake of generations to come, need to spend a little bit of money and having your DNA tracked back to its beginning, back to its origin, so you'll know who you are. Because we know nothing of ourselves. And everything we've learned, even on a technological basis, is European based. Even I, who are talking to you about this, My talking to you is European based. Why? Because everything else has been erased and rewritten and reprogrammed. And it is a struggle. It is a struggle to get back to your original self. So for the sake of future generations, start as soon as they come into the world. Even if they're already in the world, start. So this won't be a stumbling block in their progress as a people, as it has been with us. We must change our thinking. Or what we think is thinking, because we don't think, we don't think, we don't think. We can't. We've been programmed not to think. We've been programmed to follow. My mama used to say, don't be a lemming. We need to stop being lemmings. We need to stop and ask ourselves, is this progress? We've been even programmed to believe that corruption, misinformation, and individualism is progress. Is progress. We're watching our young men, young boys, grown men, Africans all, we're watching them being destroyed. We're watching them being destroyed. And we're saying, what's happening here? Whatever's happening, we are allowing, because we've been programmed to believe that this is correct. People, please. People, please. We cannot allow this to continually happen. There's a program that started, I believe it was last week. I don't know. I didn't look. I don't have patience with coonery. Destructive coonery. And I've forgotten the name of it. What is the name of that program, Cherie? It has to do with dancing. Prancing Elite. That's it. Prancing Elite. Now, homosexuality has been around since the beginning of time. But there are a few things that you need to know about it. And I don't know about you, but doesn't it seem like all of a sudden the entire black community has become homosexual? Gay? I don't know. But I tell you what, we're going to talk about it next week, and let me tell you what we're going to talk about. Ran across an article, and there's this, he's a black chemist, and he says that they're putting chemicals in the food to make people gay. What does that sound like to you? Does that sound like a fantasy? Does that sound like a lie? Well, they've been putting stuff in our food for a long, long time. And he did the work. And once he did the work, he was hired by a major company. And we're going to talk about it next week. Definitely going to talk about it next week. And when the results came, he tried to tell people, and they took him through some changes. But we're going to talk about it. So in the meantime, hey, we're at the end of the show. I want you to think about what we've talked about. You know, I want you to look at the children around you and think about what you can do. And look at yourself in the mirror and think about what you need to do. All right? So it's time to go. Thank you for joining. And I hope what we've talked about will help you. Next week.
And you let you, I never will forget you. Que viva I'm not sure.